Praise God. I'm going to sit down. Let's do it.
All your life to give to the one you love.
That was short.
Imagine something precious, priceless gift you've been waiting all your life to give to the one you love. You wait for the right time, you wrap it carefully, you pack it in a box, and you place a few stamps on the outside and hand this wonderful thing over to a complete stranger. Absolutely confident that your irreplaceable gift will find its way to the one you love. That is the miracle of a postage stamp. The stamp is the smallest contract in the world. A promise that if you believe in it, we will deliver it somehow, some way, because we know that if that contract is broken, hearts can be broken too.
Every time you put a stamp on an envelope, let that tell you that you have value, that there is somebody watching over that. That package actually did get delivered to the person. It took some years to do, but they did it. And it reunited a mother and daughter who had been estranged for years. Just good. Okay. Let me bank off some. I'm trying to get this thing going, but emotions are just really through the roof today. And you know, it's okay to have emotions. Do you know that? We're not like wound so tight that you can't. No, there are some people who really are ruined because they're all emotional, and there are those who are so unemotional, they're dead inside. There's a balance to that, and we need to know that God gave us emotions for a reason. For the capacity to love and love Him and love other people with a human love. There's nothing wrong with a human love. It's a good thing. As long as it's within the confines and covenant of God. And in that covenant, in that structure, there is tremendous freedom. That's it. You're dismissed. But I want to bank off some things that I opened up through this series, last week especially, and so forth. How do we get involved? How do we know that our prayers are getting answered whatsoever we ask the Father? How can we be sure about that? I mean, all of us have faults. All of us have shortcomings or downfallings and so forth. How do we remain that constant awareness that our prayers are being answered? So number one. Number two is I opened up something about the process of manifestation. There is something that we are involved with in the process of manifestation of the Word of God, of the promises of God, the provisions of God, the empowerments of God. We have something to do with the miracles of God. How do you birth a miracle in your life? Want to talk about that, and if we have time. And then we talked about changing the landscape of our mind through praying in tongues. That river of living water, rivers of living water just exploding from your heart and reshaping the landscape first of your mind, and then giving you the words that will come to others that will reshape their understanding of God and ability to apply His word and His love in their life. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll start there. I know we camped here last week. But if you're like me, you need repetitive and repeated meditation on these things over and over and over. I know I do. You could verify that with my wife. She'd be glad to tell you that I speak the truth. I need reminding all the time. That was supposed to be funny, and you guys are like, really? You should see you guys from my point. Come on, guys, lighten up. Lighten up. Take the brakes off and enjoy the ride, you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, for all, everybody say all. Does that leave out one promise?
No.
For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, in your Savior who died for you, who gave himself for you, who rose from the dead for you so that he could be your Lord, in him are yes. Is there one promise that God gave you that he'll say no to?
No.
That was three of you. Is there one promise in the Bible that God will say no to if you come to him?
No.
You know why? He can't.
Right.
It's in the will. And the will has already been signed off by God. And he said, this is holy writ. This is the covenant that he cannot depart from, cannot be changed, cannot be annulled. And he said, all the promises of God in Christ, are yes. You know, God just doesn't go around Jesus to just do whatever he wants. He won't do that. He cannot do that. It's in him. It's in him. You know, a lot of people say, well, God can do anything he wants to. Really? No, he can't. He has, by covenant, entered into something where he has denied himself the right to judge you. You know, if you look through the Old Testament, it says the anger of God was kindled against. You know, when Israel rebelled against them, and he said to Moses, stand back. And Moses said, why? You know what's going to happen? If you do, see, Moses, you got to understand, this is how Jesus intercedes for us. Moses said, if you do that, the Egyptians will say that you just brought us out here to kill us. He says, no, I'll give you a great people. He made God repent of his judgment. That's what Jesus does for us on a moment by moment by moment by moment basis. That elevates us to a very high and favored and strong position in this world with God. Like I said, when Jesus was born into this world, all of heaven moved into position for you. You are backed by heaven. Especially when you walk in the Word, when you are a doer of the Word, when you shed your own will. It's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Because God has already forfeited his will. That's what a covenant is. A contract guarantees the rights of all parties involved. A covenant, when you enter into covenant, you release yourself from your rights. Even as God released himself from his rights to enter into covenant for the good of both parties, to get the end that is desired by both parties. Praise God. God loves you and he's given up a lot for you. Isn't that good? In Christ are yes, and in him, amen. Now this amen, remember when Jesus said, verily, verily, or amen, amen. This is God speaking in heaven and earth. Let it be written. It cannot be annulled. It cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. In him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. What does that mean? How do I do that? By us. Well, we went into this last week in John. Turn to John chapter 15, verse 16. This is a really good verse. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should what?
Remain.
This is not a fly-by-night thing where today God deals with us based on our performance this day and then bends for us on another performance that we did this. No. If you've had answered prayer, first of all, if you've been born again, you have the fruit of the Spirit already in you. Jesus has ordained that you should go forth, that you could go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Your testimony of your new birth, your testimony of answered prayers, your testimony of reconciled relationships, your testimony of all of these things starts speaking. Bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Those last five words, he may give it you, that word may is an expression of permission. God just doesn't dump stuff on you. He just doesn't do stuff that he wants to do in your life. He wants to give you a lot. He wants to do a lot. But you are the one that's involved in asking so that he now legally can give it to you. That's what that may is in there for. It's not like, well, he may or he may not. No, that's what the devil says. No, it's up to you. You've been bad. He'll remind you of everything that doesn't even count. And he'll put it in your way as if it's an obstacle. And it's not an obstacle. It's an opportunity to step on it and say, God, you're good. God, you are faithful. God, you are true. Whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, you're involved in this. Now you ask in the name of Jesus. Now he's able to get it to you. Legally. Let's turn back to John chapter 14 and verse 13, I believe. Yeah. Isn't it nice that Jesus spent all this time at the Last Supper? These are the things you should go over in communion when you're taking communion. And whatever you ask, I'm sorry, verse 13, is that right? Yep. And whatever you ask, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do. I'm sorry, he didn't say the Father there, did he? Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He's not even talking about asking the Father here. He's talking about you. So that this word ask, which is ahiteo, which means to request or require, but it also means to call for or call forth. And the only way you can understand how that word is used is in context. Jesus didn't even mention the Father in this verse. He said, whatsoever you ask or call forth in my name, I'll do it. You want to know? You say, well, how do I know his will? It's right there. You just read it. I will do it. Whatever you call forth. This is by us. This is how it's manifested, the glory of God, by us. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Whatsoever you call forth or require. That's another meaning of the word ahiteo. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. The Father wants to glorify the name of Jesus. The Father wants Jesus to be raised up. And if Jesus is raised up, he'll draw all men to him. Right? He wants the real Jesus to be lifted up. He wants the risen Christ to be identified by this world as somebody who is faithful and true, that his word is good, that his name is good, Amen. That he is powerful. You know, we talked about the Antichrist last week, and I said, what is he? He's got nothing but fear. Fear is weakness. Fear is absolute defeat. If you're full of fear, you're going somewhere to fail. Fast. That's who the Antichrist is. He's anointed by the devil himself, and he's got nothing but fear and hatred and resentment and alienation and offense. He's a mess. And people say, he's going to be something. What you have is so many millions and billions and trillions of times better than anything he's got. You have the name above every name in heaven and in earth. And if you call forth anything in that name, he will do it.
Hallelujah.
Why? That the Father we'll be happy that the name of his son is raised up in its true value. Amen. And whatever he values that name to be, he put the same value on you. You're worth something. You're worth something to God. Say this, I'm worth him. I'm worth it to God. I'm worth more than I can understand to my daddy. Right, Dwight? I love that. Daddy. And he wants to sit in our lap. He wants us to sit in his lap. He doesn't want to sit in our lap. He wants us to sit in his lap and just let him spoon feed us with his love today. This stuff is, it's not rocket science. But this is what so much of the church has placed everything on God. They wait for God to do everything, and then they blame him for everything. They don't have to take any personal responsibility that way for their lack of faith or their lack of trust or the fear that is guiding them instead of the faith that is leading them. Whew. I don't know if you're getting anything out of this, but I sure am. This is starting to really, let's read this in context. Like I said, the only way you can understand this word ask is in context. So let's go back to verse 12. What's he talking about? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Who's backing Jesus? The Father. Who's backing the gospel? Who's backing all of this? The Father's behind all of it. Because I go to the Father, and whatsoever you call forth in my name, I'll do it. Does it say that? Yes, it does. Verse 14. And if you shall ask anything in my name, he's reiterating this. He hasn't even mentioned the Father until verse 16. And this is only verse 14. Twice. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything, if you call for whatever you call forth in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you call forth or require anything in my name, I'll do it. We got to drive this in like a huge nail in a board. Just drive that. Let this be that whatever it is that sinks down into your heart, and let this be an anchor. In every situation you are, you've got a mouth, and you can declare, whatsoever you call forth in my name, it requires, the spirit of faith requires that. It requires believing and speaking. You've got to speak it. Be loaded with the promises of God. Load up, you know those old belts across the chest loaded with bullets and everything? They have their guns all filled with bullets and everything like Yosemite Sam. All right, varmint, say your prayer. But those, by the way, cartoons were made for grown-ups. They were not made for kids. Yosemite Sam, and I loved him. And Wile E. Coyote and all that. Man, I laughed more at those things than I did at the real comedians. Anyhow, where was I with all this? Be loaded with the promises of God so that you can call them forth. Because you can't just, it says whatsoever. We got to get out of our head that means whatsoever, you know. What does that refer to? It means he's talking about, this whole thing is centered around God's communion from the Passover, Moach figuring into that when Jesus himself was realizing he is now that Passover lamb. Not that he realized it now. He knew it before he came into the world. He was accepting the reality of what was about to happen to him. And everything, when he died, everything that was in that will, the Old Testament, came alive when he died. It was distributed to you and me. That became the living will of God. It was given to us. That's why we can call forth. And when we call forth, now he may do it. Now he is allowed to legally do it. God just can't do anything he wants to. He needs you, your permission. He needs your cooperation. He needs your alliance. You have an ally with him. He has an ally with you. And if you say, you know, Paul, what was it? Even the Roman centurion says, speak the word only. If we would just speak the word only and not how we feel and not what's wrong and not the obstacles and everything else, I mean, not that you shouldn't deal with it, but you can look at the obstacle and say, I call you not. You are false evidence appearing real. You are a lie. You are nothing but just a twig in the forest of my father. And he's going to step on you and break you. Because my father will walk across oceans for me. Amen. And my Savior will too. Boy, we could stop right there and go home and be happy. This is the word of God. Amen. We got a lot of ways to go here. I want to talk about the process of manifestation now, okay? This is what we do. We say it. How do we get there? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, right? This is not something he's going to do. This is something he has already done, right? Blessed be, boy, you got to just, blessed be the God and Father. He's given us so much. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly, that heavenly places, by the way, is an old King James term for spiritual realm, the spiritual realm. All the blessings of God, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, they are a reality in the spirit. Whether you see them with your eyes, whether you are experiencing them, whether you are walking in them now in physical reality now, doesn't matter. They are a reality in the spirit. So the problem is, how do we get those blessings transferred over into the natural realm? God's already given them. They are already in the will. The will has already been satisfied with the death of the testator, which is Jesus, and the will has been emptied out, everything that was listed in that will, every promise of the old covenant. Again, the old covenant is the new covenant concealed. The new covenant is the old covenant revealed. So every promise in the Bible belongs to us. Every one of them. And all the spiritual blessings and benefits, all the provisions and promises, all of the gifts of the Spirit and everything is all ours. How do you get them to manifest in the flesh? How do we do that? How is the Word made flesh in our life? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 1. This is the process of manifestation. Right in the very first verse. That which was from the beginning. That's Jesus, right? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and we have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested in our life. He's talking about manifestation. Two times in verse 2. For the life was what? Manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Go back to verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. What comes from hearing?
Faith.
Faith. I like that R.W. Schoenbach. Faith. Oh, yes. Hear the word. Not just test it out, not just kind of examine it, not just kind of edit it or whatever in your own mind. Just hear what he says. Hear it. Now, this is a natural application to a spiritual truth. This is by double reference. He's talking about how the word that that the Father has spoken to us, whatever you call forth, this is how it manifests. Whatsoever we have heard. When we hear the word of God, faith comes. Faith always comes. You know something? Healing always comes. Provision always comes, but they're not always received. Because a lot of us quit right there. We hear it and say, yeah, that's good. And then just like the rocky soil, we go, when the sun comes out. You got to stand. Which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Faith comes for a reason. Not just to give you a thrill and excitement and give you all kinds of goosebumps and everything else. It comes for a purpose. God is trying to manifest his glory through you. Beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. So when you hear the word and faith comes, you don't see your situation the way you used to. You don't see that obstacle the way you used to. You see how strong you are and how weak and how small and how little that obstacle it is. Right? You see different. Then you look upon. Look upon denotes meditation in the Word of God. You meditate on that word that you've heard. You start letting it change how you see things. And you look upon it and look into it and let it start to reform and reshape your vision, your inner vision, so that the eyes of your understanding be flooded with light, so that you know what the hope of your calling is, what the glory of the riches of his inheritance in that he has given to you and laid up for you, and open your eyes of your understanding to the exceeding greatness of his power. Why does he give you his power? Because it's you that will remove that burden. It's you that will remove that obstacle. It will you just see yourself. When you're empowered that way, it's like taking your hand and wiping the table off of everything that the devil has put on that table, and you receive the spreading of the Lord of that table. Because he's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies, right? This is so rich with revelation and understanding. That which was from the beginning, before you had a sniffle, before you had a backache, before you had sciatica, before you had arthritis, before you had any of that, there was that which was. And he makes that which is in you as if it never was. which we have heard, which we have seen with our, which we have looked upon, and then what? Our hands have handled. This is the manifestation of what he said will come to pass. When you cooperate with it, it will manifest. For the life. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are what? Life. They are spirit and they are life. For the life was manifested. And we've seen it. And bear witness and show unto you or reveal to you or explain to you or whatever it is. This is like a real word. We show it to you. This is a demonstration. Paul said, I come not with man's words of man's wisdom, but I come to you in demonstration of the Spirit. This is how the Spirit operates. This is how God, the kingdom of God operates. This is how believers are supposed to operate, and it's all backed by wisdom and revelation knowledge of God. To show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Let this sink down deep into your heart. Let these words be like an anchor driving down into the sand of your heart and bringing you where you need to be. Consistent, steady. submitted to nothing else but the Word of God. Submitted to His voice. Submitted. Accountable to nothing but the Word of God. Did you know you're not accountable to anything but the Word of God? And the Word of God says that we need to be accountable to the authority that He's set up in His body. But the thing is, ultimately, if they're not accountable to God, you need to be accountable to God, regardless. That's what it's saying. So submitted, accountable, committed to the Word of God. So no matter which way the wind is blowing the waters, you're remaining consistent. You're not going up and down with the emotions and consistent. And you will become a great steward of the manifold grace of God. Praise God. This is all His grace. It's all His grace. That's what faith does. Faith takes what God has provided by grace. It takes it. Your faith needs to be activated. It needs to work. Now, this may seem like it's all works and man and so forth. No, this is the instruction that your Father has given you. You know, God walked with Adam and instructed him in the cool of the day. He was teaching him. I mean, just think of the sunsets that were happening. And the colors. I mean, you can't. We don't even have those colors here. The colors. And Adam would have said, how did you do that? And he'd explain it to him. But he was teaching him. This is the way you get the most out of your crops, out of your garden, out of your so forth. Because God had Adam's intent to make this entire world a paradise. Because if you read the end of the book, God's planning on moving here. We need it to be something worthy of His presence. We need something to be glorifying His presence, that we can stand before Him and say, Lord, all of Your promises were given to me, and by Your grace, I have manifested them, the promises that You have, because You said, it's by us. It's whatever we call forth, You'll do it. Whatever we ask the Father in My name. And if you need extra help, just know this. All heaven is in position to back up your prayers and release the power of God. Praise God. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? That was a big yes. I thank You for that. We'll get into the changing the landscape of your mind another time, but there's supernatural ability you have to do that. You happy?
Yes.
Amen. Oh, good. Yeah. Good. Because we have a basket out there. Just check all of your rocks in there. Oh, hallelujah. But this is good stuff, isn't it? Isn't it good news? Isn't this good? You're worth something to God. You are able. God just didn't leave you in the same mess you were in when you came to Him. He made you born again to put you up and seat you together with Christ.
Praise God.
Don't get me started. Oh, you can go forth and you can be confident in His power. Meditate. He's saying this. Meditate on My word. Let it become your reality. Let it erase your past. Let it erase the memories. Let it erase everything that the devil has built into your life in the past. It's no longer there. It's no longer done. It has been wiped out by the blood of My Son, says the Lord. You are who I say you are. And I have seated you in an equal position to My Son. You share in His glory, despite your past, despite anything. You share in His glory. That is your seat of authority. I've given you that authority to use it. Use it. Use it. Take up the name of Jesus. Be seated in the seat of authority that I have given you, and rule and reign in life. Amen.
Yes.
I got meat to eat that you don't know anything about. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return void. It will accomplish what we sent it to do. Everybody say this. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Amen.